January and February birthdays. January 4th, San Antonio Spurs big man Victor Wembanyama turns 21 years old. Buda Baker on the 10th, the Arizona Guards Pro Bowl safety, is 29. January 11th, Cincinnati Reds shortstop Eli De La Cruz celebrates his 23rd birthday. On January 22nd, Caitlin Clark, the WNBA Rookie of the Year, is 23. In February 5th, five-time Ballon d'Or winner and Portugal star Cristiano Ronaldo turned 40. February 6th, two-time major champion Colin Morikawa celebrates his 28th birthday. Quarterback Matthew Stafford of the Rams is 37 years old on the 7th of February. And on the 23rd of February, gold medal winning discus thrower Valerie Allman turns 30. LOL, that's just hyperbole. If one thing has become abundantly clear about college football's bowl season, it's that weird is in. Thanks to a desire to make corporate sponsors happy and the need to stand out in a crowded field of games, bowl games have taken a strange turn in recent years. Consider what we saw in 2020. Duke's mayonnaise, a condiment that's popular in the South, began sponsoring a game in Charlotte. Normally pretty ho-hum news, but the game succeeded in drawing attention by replacing the traditional post-game Gatorade shower with a ceremony in which the winning coach was doused in mayo. Then in 2023, we saw the Pop-Tarts Bowl, which featured an eerie breakfast pastry live mascot that was, checks note, eaten by the winning team. Okay, there may have been some sleight of hand, but we were meant to believe it happened. For the 2024 game, the bowl upped the ante by introducing three new flavors of mascot. If the advertising works, watching bowl games will just make you hungrier and hungrier. A word of advice, though. If you're going to have a Pop-Tart, hold the mayo. Hate to say we called it, but we did. Being named Sports Kid of the Year is a reward for what an athlete has accomplished both on and off the field. But there's a forward-looking element as well. We expect big things out of our Sports Kids of the Year choices, and they haven't let us down. For instance, if you turn to the middle of this issue, you'll see a poster of 2020 winner Juju Watkins, who had become one of the best college players in the country while starring at USC. She's not the only recent sports kid to star on a huge stage. Back in 2019, Alice Sentior won the honor. At the time, she was a 15-year-old high school soccer star with dreams of playing for her country. In a video interview with SI Kids, she wore a USWNT World Cup champion shirt and talked about what the team meant to her. "I look up to all the players on that team," she said. "They're all role models for me. Watching them win the 2019 World Cup was such an amazing experience for me because one day I want to be there." Well, now she can say she made it. On November 30th, Centaur made her USWNT debut in front of 78,346 fans at Wembley Stadium in London. "They're going to have plenty of years of this," said Emma Hayes, told her as she entered the game as a substitute. "Go, run your socks off." She did, of course. Centaur has always been a hard worker. Her mom called her a typical kid with a typical drive towards her goals. That drive led Sentinor to North Carolina, where she hit a significant bump in the road. Tearing her ACL minutes into her first preseason game, she bounced back, though, and led the powerhouse in goals 11 and assists 7 as a redshirt sophomore in 2023. Center turned pro after the season, and the Utah Royals took her first overall in the NWSL draft. As a rookie, Sentinor had 3 goals and 4 assists and was named the league's Player of the Month in July. As if that didn't keep her busy enough, Centenor also captained the United States team at the Under-20 World Cup in Colombia in the fall. She scored 3 goals and won the bronze ball as the tournament's third best player. That set up her dream debut in London, where she played the last 6 minutes of the scoreless draw against England. "Honestly, I have no words," Centenor said after the game. "These girls have made me feel like family since I got here." She was presented with a game ball and led the squad in its 1-2-3 team chant after the game, bringing to a close quite an eventful year for the 20-year-old. The NWSL season doesn't start until March, but you can bet even with no games, Centenor will be somewhere running her socks off. Meanwhile, in the swimming pool, like Ali Centenor, Leah Hayes has also found herself starstruck. Back in 2022, Sports Kid of the Year was suddenly chatting with her heroes. "I was like, oh my gosh, I had a conversation with Katie Ledecky and with Lily King," she said. "What is this? What in the world?" Hayes went on to win a bronze medal in the 2200 individual medley. Then in 2023, she brought home 5 medals at the Junior Worlds. After missing out on the 2024 Olympic team, the 19-year-old who swims in college for Virginia will have her eye on the 2028 Games. The art of the start. 15-0 start. Cleveland Cavaliers 2024-25 season. Coming off a disappointing 2023-24, the Cavs tore up the league for the first month of this season. They tie the record for the second-best start in NBA history, winning 15 straight before a narrow loss to the defending champs, the Celtics. Then after a couple of more wins, Cleveland was trounced twice in 3 days by the Hawks, a team with a losing record, which goes to show you never can really tell anything in the NBA. The Cavs hope their streak will propel them to their first title without LeBron James, whose best start in Cleveland was just 6-0. Does getting out of the blocks fast guarantee success? Does stumbling early doom a team? It's complicated. Winnipeg Jets, 24-25, 15-1 start. Sometimes a bad start can lead to good things. In 2017 and 18, Winnipeg got torched in its first 2 games, getting outscored 13-5 in a pair of losses. The Jets went on to make the conference finals, their best ever postseason run. But that season didn't end with a trophy. So maybe this year's 15-1 start, the best over 16 games in NHL history, will yield a better result. However, as we'll see on the next couple of pages, record-breaking beginnings don't always lead to happy endings. Good luck, Jets! Start. Curse the reverse. Or, are the start, great start, yeah, but... New England Patriots, 2007. There was one storyline at the Super Bowl 47. Could the Patriots finish what they started? It wasn't just that New England was hot early in the season. They stayed that way through the middle and the end, finishing the regular season 16-0. 2 playoff wins gave Tom Brady and his teammates the chance of to become the first NFL team to finish undefeated since 1972. Their opponents, however, thought they deserved some attention too. "Everywhere you went, it was all about the Patriots, 19-0, said Giants cornerback R.W. McQuarters. So New York went out and made the world take notice, winning on a TD after receiver David Tyree kept the drive alive by catching the ball against his helmet. 2 weeks into the season, the Giants had been 0-2. Not an ideal start, but theirs was a perfect finish. Golden State Warriors. How good were the Warriors when the Splash Brothers were at their peak? They began the 2015-16 season without their coach, Steve Kerr, who was sidelined with back problems. His interim replacements, 35-year-old Luke Walton, had no head coaching experience at any level. Well, it turns out experience might be overrated. Golden State won its first 24 games under Walton, 9 games more than any NBA team had ever won to start a season. By the time Kerr returned, the team was 39-4, and he guided them to a 73-9 finish, the best record in league history. But the Dubs' near-perfect season ended in heartbreak, as LeBron James led the Cavaliers back from a 3-1 deficit in the finals. More curse reversed? Chicago Sky. Before the 2021 season, Chicago area native Candace Parker on the right became a free agent after 13 seasons with the Los Angeles Sparks. She chose to sign her with the team near her hometown, where she said, "I first fell in love with this orange ball." There was nothing to love about her decision after 9 games, though. The Sky was a miserable 2-7, but Parker and her teammates rallied and fought their way into the playoffs, where they caught fire and won 8 of 10 games en route to becoming the lowest-seeded team to win the WNBA title. And finally, Phoenix Suns, 1996-97. After 8 games, the Suns were winless and fired their coach, Cotton Fitzsimmons. His replacement, Danny Ainge, then lost his first 5 games, running Phoenix marks to 0-13. But the late-season acquisition of point guard Jason Kidd, on the right, spurred the team to an 11-game win streak that allowed the Suns to finish 40-42 and make the postseason, establishing the mark for the worst NBA start ever for a playoff team. Arden in charge. Sports Kid of the Year Arden Pela is using the power of sports to help undeserved kids in his community. The playground outside Perkins Elementary in San Diego, there's a mural. It featured an oversized kid sitting on a small planet Earth, staring off into space. On the mural are the words Sueña Grande, and right above that is the English translation Dream Big. Not far from the mural, on a winter muddy afternoon, cones have been set up around a basketball court and balls have been distributed to a group of 12 or so kids. At the end of the court, a man named Coach Juan is putting some of the kids through drills. At the other end, the person running the clinic looks barely older than the elementary school students. In fact, one is taller than he is. The coach's name is Arden Pela. He's a sophomore at Francis Parker High. He made the clinic possible, and for that, he's our Sports Kid of the Year. An eye-opening experience. The first time Arden visited Perkins was about 4 years ago. He was volunteering to read the students at the school. On the way out, he was chatting with the principal, Fernando Hernandez. As they were talking, Hernandez told Arden that the school recently had to let go of its athletics coach to save money. It was a blow to the school and the students who desperately needed such programs. Many Perkins students live in shelters, in cars, or even in tents near the school. Hernandez estimated that more than a third of the students were affected by homelessness, and most of those who weren't came from impoverished backgrounds. In this community, we do not have a YMCA, says Hernandez, yet we do not have a little league. If parents wish to take their kids to play these things, they have to travel out of this community. And most of our families do not have a car. They're not mobile. When Hernandez explained the situation to Arden, the 11-year-old was stunned. He loved playing basketball. He was on a club team, and while he knew he was never going to grow up and become the next Steph Curry, he found joy in playing with his friends. So Arden talked to his parents, Serhat and Zenyep, about how he could help. They got in touch with Hernandez, and Arden offered to come to the school and teach the kids how to play basketball every Wednesday afternoon. Coaching kids who were roughly his age was not easy. My first year, I wouldn't call it a train wreck because it went well and the kids enjoyed it. But it was hard for me, Arden says. There were times where I was thinking, man, should I just stop doing this? Because I don't know if the kids are getting anything out of it. So Arden did what a lot of kids of his age do. He spent time on YouTube. He wasn't watching some videos, though. He was taking in tutorials on how to teach kids the game. He also drew on his experience as an actor. We should note that Arden is also an author who has published 3 books about a flying car, and he's also a documentary filmmaker. I had a really loud voice, and I was used to shouting and stuff like that, so that helped me a lot, Arden says. And I got a whistle as well. Whistles are important. Eventually, he began to see results. Basketball was giving the kids some badly needed structure. It teaches the kids more life lessons, like working as a team, being hardworking, and the need for sportsmanship, Arden says. As the team time came, Arden realized that there were more schools like Perkins that lacked sports programs. He soon realized if he really wanted to broaden the program, he was going to need more resources. So at the beginning of 2020, he started Sports for Kids. The charity raises money to purchase equipment and pay instructors like Coach Juan. But it does more than just fund the clinics that have introduced 750 kids to teen sports, including soccer and basketball. Sports Kids has distributed more than 25,000 points of Ruba food and mobilized 350 youth volunteers. Arden is the chief executive officer of Sports for Kids, in other words, the boss, and he acts like it. He's the one who's going out and applying for grants and giving speeches for the money. He has a real knack for speeches to raise money than more than $300,000. And it's not just money. It's also prepping people to volunteer the game. Arden has brought in a former volunteer at the time. Arden has brought in a former NBA player and member of the Harlem Globetrotters to help. He was actually did rugby too, says Hernanda. He brought us out to play from the local team. And we're like, what's rugby? How do you play it? What are the rules? And San Diego has it. Does San Diego have a rugby team? How he finds them, I don't know. Steady. Freddie, all about Freddie Freeman. And Shohei Ohtani fits and pitches. Travis Hunter plays wide receiver and cornerback. But let's not forget about the specialists who excel to a very specific thing. Steven Nedorishik, pommel horse. A breakout star at the 2024 Olympics, Nedorishik competed on just one apparatus, but he nailed it. His dramatic performance helped the United States team win a bronze medal, and he added another bronze, the individual competition, forever remaining his status as pommel horse guy. Herb Washington, pinch runner. A track star who held the world record in the 60-yard dash, Washington was signed by the Oakland A's in 1974. He appeared in 105 games, totaling 31 stolen bases, 33 runs scored, and zero plate appearances. One of Washington's baseball thirds listed the position as designated runner. Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, Rutgers Scarlet Knights. Piscataway, New Jersey is the home of Rutgers. It has always been the kind of place that NBA scouts would visit to check out players on teams facing the Scarlet Knights. But this season, it's the center of attention for NBA talent evaluators planning for the 2025 draft for a different reason. Rutgers has two potential top five picks, Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. To call Piscataway a surprising local for future Ace Bailey and Dylan Harper. To call Piscataway a surprising locale for future elite NBA talent would be an understatement. Since 1995, Rutgers has finished above 500 in league play just twice. The school's last first-rounder was picked a few weeks before Bailey was born in 2006. This is a once-in-a-generation opportunity for the Scarlet Knights to change the perception of their program forever, and maybe, even maybe, reshape how top recruits think about what they should value in a college home. Rutgers coach Steve Pikiell has been in college coaching 32 years, but the scene when Bailey committed to the Scarlet Knights in January 2023 was unlike any he'd experienced before. After a gritty overtime victory over Ohio State, Bailey, who was visiting the school as a junior at McCurtain High School in Powder Springs, Georgia, approached Pikiell in the locker room. Bailey's star was rising, and he didn't intend to commit to Rutgers on his visit. But he was so taken by the atmosphere that he approached Pikiell and gave him the good news. "He's coming," Pikiell yelled out. As the coach and player were mobbed in what looked like a championship celebration, Pikiell says he's never received a commitment after a game like that. "It was really the perfect place," Bailey says. Getting Bailey on board early was huge because Rutgers had long been in pursuit of another elite prospect in 2024 class, Harper, a New Jersey native. The versatile guard has been around the program since middle school, watching his brother, Ron Harper Jr., develop into a two-time All-Big Ten performer. Even as stalwart programs like Duke and Kansas were pushing to land him, Harper felt Rutgers was even more appealing with Bailey committed. "I just wanted to change the narrative that every kid that is from Jersey leaves Jersey," Harper says. "Every year we have two or three 5- and 4-star players, but they never come here." Bailey took recruiting matters into his own hands, regularly calling Harper. The two even teamed up at the AAU circuit for a weekend in April 2023. Harper committed to Rutgers 8 months later. "Go where you wanted, not where you want to go. That's what my mom always told me," Harper says. "Go where you're wanted, not where you want to go," says Harper. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.